2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Oh my goodness, another big day in the world of sports. Even while sports aren't being played, the discussion about whether or not sports will be played, of course, taking over the conversation these days. And now, the latest victim are the non-conference schedule games for the Big Ten. That was breaking today, and that's what we're going to start off talking about right now on the 805 Cut. Let's do it.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, Scott. So it happened today where I think a lot of us were looking at who was going to shoot first. You know, who was going to be the one, the stare down of how this season was going to be happening. The Big Ten made its decision. The Big Ten will not be playing non-conference sports this fall. They will be doing only conference-only schedules for all of their sports schedule for the fall, including football. How does that affect things immediately? BYU has a game scheduled against Michigan State. That will be postponed. That game that was to be played in Provo for the second week of the season is now postponed, and BYU will not be playing Michigan State. As we saw this news today, Scott, man, it's a tough deal.
I feel like we're going back to what happened in March.
In March and April, right?
It's like all of a sudden one school starts, or one conference, the Ivy League schools.
For the basketball tournament,
and you go,
right?
Oh my goodness. You know, and so all of these programs, all of these conferences, all of these leagues now all of a sudden start going, maybe we should consider this. And I'm sure they've thought through all the different scenarios about what to do and what not to do, but it just makes you nervous because, look, Pac-12's going to do it. They're going to go to a conference-only schedule. They have to now because those games, unless an Oregon can find another school to play in some of these other schools.
Right? But
it's a possibility.
Here's the real problem with this. It's the money. And I know people look at it and they go, oh, well, you can't just make
the schools that are BYU.
Think about the money that, and not even just BYU, Michigan State or whatever, but think about the money that everyone's been anticipating to make and to generate off of that Ohio State-Oregon game that was scheduled at Autzen Stadium. Think about how insane, how many TV dollars are attached to that. And now, when that Band-Aid gets ripped off now, we start to go, okay, how are we going to do this across the whole of college football? I think your reaction just now, and you can't, people in the radio world can't see it. It's just like that scratching the head with the eyes closed thing that, like, when you do something wrong, or like it feels like this is a dire, dire situation for sports fans.
Well, you have these early season games that are non-conference, and you really like those. A lot of teams don't schedule them. You know, Utah has Wyoming, Montana State,
and BYU. Those are their non-conference games.
But I'm saying the BYU game's exciting. those other two games
right.
aren't. And most schools have a lot
something
of those other two
yeah,
schools
yeah.
that they're playing.
From the Pac-12 standpoint.
So you have this Ohio State-Oregon game, and you go, oh, my goodness. You know, we look forward to those games. We want to have those games.
So here are the ones that I'm looking at that I can – and this is just me looking over the schedule quickly here. Just these are Pac-12 teams that are scheduled to play Big Ten games that are now going to be postponed. So the Oregon-Ohio State game, that one was a big one. That was the one that everybody was looking at going, okay – And by the way, this is one of those things that okay. Anyway, Nebraska was to play Colorado the second week of the season,
Used to be a big game.
It was, yeah, and that's a Big Ten game. It goes away, and that's another. Again, that's a big money maker, right? Where people go, hey, that's a.
But it, like I was saying, it's not just the money though. It's getting to watch a quality game early on in the season.
Right,
you're not going to have that.
That Ohio State Oregon game was the biggest one on the docket, I think. The one that could go away that's going to be another big one that everyone's going to be looking at is that Alabama
USC
and USC game.
Yeah. The thing about the Big Ten, I want to call them the Big 12, the Big Ten. It's the Big Ten, but they have 14 schools. So that's who they are.
Yeah.
And when you have 14 schools, you know, you can have a pretty flexible schedule. You could probably have a whole slate of games. You're all going to be conference games, which I don't think is a bad thing. But still, you're going to have the ability to do kind of what you want to with your schedule.
Sure.
And that's, I guess, the luxury of being in that position. Maybe the Pac-12 could do the same thing where maybe all the schools play all the schools in the Pac-12. And you have an 11-game season, and then you have a championship.
See, and it works for the Big 12. And it works for the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And BYU fans need to start looking, and this is something that we're going to talk about with Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, coming up later in the show. But what an interesting twist to today where we thought that, you know, I think that everybody yesterday with the Ivy League news, we all went, yeah, but it's the Ivy League.
Right.
And the question was, okay, so how are the big leagues going to react to this? Because somebody's going to start making moves. And everyone's looking at each other going, okay, where are you going with this? Where are we going to go with this? And I'm surprised that the Big Ten did it, to be honest. If you're a commissioner of the Big Ten, what makes you feel like, okay, we're safer now that we are not playing these non-conference games?
Well, I think what it is it's having the control. Having the control over the schedules, the travel distance. In the event that, like, let's say things move in a further south direction. You know, that maybe there are more people that are going to be infected by this, and maybe it gets worse as it goes on into the fall, and they probably just want to have the ability to control it more. I think there's an ability to want to have football this fall, no matter what. And it sounds like you probably can, and the worst case would be no fans in the stands. You know, which will be weird. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's going to be a weird.
It's super weird.
It's going to be super weird.
It's super weird, but I will say, and we've said
but
it the whole time.
It is what it is.
And
know?
I would watch a football game
right.
on TV all day with nobody in the stands. I honestly, if that's the price we have to pay, I don't know why everybody is just saying, and I know that these athletic directors are dealing with people in their ear going, I paid for that suite, man. And these donors, listen, Utah
yeah,
has all
it's,
these
it's,
guys.
It's a little different. I hear that, but there's this. There's this mindset in college athletics that I know they're still students somewhat and athletes somewhat second, and the health and safety of all the people involved has to be the priority in college athletics. And so if they're perceived as we're just money grubbing, whatever,
yeah.
And we're kowtowing to people that, you know, we're being held hostage by these donors. That's not going to fly with anyone. It's bad optics. It's not going to be a good thing. So they'll figure out a way, I think, to have college football, but maybe just not with – I mean, it's just looking more and more like it's not going to have fans, and it's going to be kind of a controlled, limited schedule.
You think this just ends up being – I mean, are we going to get the other conferences making this decision, you know, through the end of the week here? I mean, we're on Thursday now already, but, I mean, tomorrow –
I'm sure.
You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Pac-12. Everyone's going to want to know what they're going to do, and I still think it's still pretty fluid, and it's still pretty early. You know, I know you have to make plans and preparations, and you got to deal with travel, and I'm sure that's part of the Big Ten going, we don't want to be caught with our pants down on a lot of these travel situations or if things go south. And so I'm sure these other leagues are going to want to make a decision earlier rather than later so people can plan accordingly. I'll tell you what, though, Alex, the thing that's most interesting to me about all of this, I haven't heard a word from the NFL.
You know what?
It's almost
all they're talking about is whether or not we're going to be using face shields and the face masks. And
I mean, it's not like, you know, that there's still that. Now, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, NFL teams travel on a charter; they control the whole in the airplane. I would think that they could probably quarantine their players to some degree. I mean, they could have a training camp mode all season long, where everyone. I mean, I would think players would go bananas in that situation, you know, where you have the NBA season kind of trying to, you know, kind of control everything, put everything in a bubble just to finish out a season. They're not even, I mean, we haven't even talked about the NBA and what happens next year.
Or what happens.
It's supposed to start in October.
Right. Or what happens, you know, next week or 2 weeks when they're doing all the testing and they're in the bubble and a handful of guys get it.
And
the food's terrible. All right.
That's terrible.
We're going to speak with Bill Riley, the voice of the Utes, coming up in just a little bit. I want to know what his thoughts are about what the season looks like. BYU schedule already been affected by the news. Michigan State will not be coming to BYU, it looks like, to Provo this fall, with the Big Ten rescheduling all of their games to be conference-only games across all their sports. We'll come back. A lot going on.
That was a win for BYU, too.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, Mel Tucker and Michigan State on the way down, and they're playing in Provo. That would have been a big one for BYU. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, former Utah great Scott Mitchell, dealing with the news today that the Big Ten is moving to a conference-only schedule for all their sports in the fall. And I don't know if you know
it's
this,
kind
Scott,
of a,
but
Big Ten light, you know, just taking a little bit of the, I don't know.
I know you're
the sugar out of this thing.
I know you're wondering. You're asking yourself the same question I think a lot of people did. So is football in the fall? Is that affected by it? It's the only one that we're really worried about. When they say all their fall sports are going to conference only, football, of course, is the one that we are looking at and going, how does that affect where we're at here? Well, immediately, just with that decision, it's Michigan State not coming to Provo for BYU fans. And I think you should prep for a little bit more than just that. Joining us here on the program, he's the voice of the Utes, Bill Riley, on KSL's Unrivaled with us. Bill, how'd you take that news today? Not a shocker after yesterday's Ivy League news, too.
I talked to Mark Harlan yesterday. Hey, guys, by the way.
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
I had Utah Director of Athletics Mark Harlan on my show yesterday on 700, and you know, we were talking about scenarios, and, you know, I asked the question I always ask Mark, how optimistic are you? And Mark's been kind of like me, glass-ass, full guy, pretty optimistic. And I asked him about a full season. And he was a little tentative yesterday, to be very fair. And he's in on the big NCAA. He's on a big NCAA committee plus the Pac-12 stuff, too. And he basically said, you know, we're kind of, as it stands right now, we're kind of trending in the direction like we might be looking more seriously at an all-conference model. But Mark said, you know, it's probably still a few weeks away from decision time. Well, fast forward to today during my show again, when the news broke. Again, we haven't heard it from the Big Ten, but we've heard it from a bunch of reputable, you know, outlets that the Big Ten's going to go to an all-conference model. Well, here we go. This, I think, is the first domino. If one Power Five is going to it, the odds are the other Power Fives will too, especially the ones that play the nine conference games, like the Pac-12, like the Big Ten, and like the Big 12 do. Nothing is official, but it looks like we're trending in that direction, which, again, is not great when you like 12 games, but it's especially not great if you're not in a conference like BYU. So it's not unheard of, but it's not exactly the news I think we were looking for.
I'm curious, if they do go this way, so the Big Ten goes this way, do they gobble up those open weeks with more conference games and just play a whole, you know, I guess they could probably play a whole 12-game schedule. But like a conference like the Pac-12, could you pick up those two schools that you don't play in the other, you know, the other side of the division, and then you get 11 games? Is there? Do you think there's any discussion about that, or they just go, you know, all your open dates are still open, and we're just going to play 9 games?
Scott, it's all on the table. Mark Harlan told me yesterday they have 3 or 4 really firm models of conference-only play. So I think that you could look at 11 games, potentially. You could look at 10 games, potentially. You could look at 9 and look at 8. I think everything from 8 games to 11 games is probably on the table. Now, you want to play as many games as you want because that's revenue. But I think you have to look at start dates, because I think if you're going to a conference-only schedule, you're probably looking at the start of college football being pushed a little bit to give all these different markets. Because even within a conference footprint, the markets are different. Southern California, shoot, we've seen it here. Our market has spiked. We're not as good as we were a month ago. Now there's still time to dial it back. Everybody wears a mask and socially distances again. But I think that if you're looking at a conference-only schedule, that maybe you're pushing the start of the season back mid-September, late September. And then if you're doing that, it's going to be harder to play. Certainly you're not playing 12 anymore. Could you play 11 still? Yeah, I think you might be able to. But maybe more logically, you're playing 10. So maybe you're adding one more game. And I think the other thing that people have talked about, and Mark alluded to this a little bit, are if you dial it back to conference only and you start a little bit later, you're probably going to have some flexible weekends in there, to where if a particular market can't play at a particular week, maybe you flex the game to another weekend. So you leave yourself a little bit of wiggle room in there within your schedule, depending on what happens. But I think you could look at anything from 11 to 8 games when it comes to the Pac-12.
Bill Riley, voice of the Utah Utes, joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled, and with the Big Ten announcing that they're going conference only. It does feel like it's just a matter of time till the rest of the conference is sort of follow suit. I know that everybody looks and sees what the Big Ten, it was either the Big Ten or the SEC. Those are the two that you look at and you go, okay, the Big Ten has such an East Coast influence, and the SEC has the rest of the football influence when it comes to the football gods in this country. So then what? Because then the discussion was about a spring model, too. Has that been even thrown out there, too? Because then you're talking about guys who would just say, you know what? I'm not going to play anymore. I'm going straight to the NFL. Or guys that would never be able to play again because obviously the NCAA would have to figure out their eligibility. It's a mess in the spring.
Yeah, I asked Mark about that. And Mark's exact words to me is, nothing is off the table. Which is, by the way, the smart way to approach things. You don't rule anything out.
Got to be fluid, yeah.
You have to. But the spring football model is the ultimate fail-safe plan when all else fails. I don't think it's realistic because, as you said, Alex, it creates another cavalcade of problems. First of all, we don't know that the infection rate is going to be any better, any worse, or the same in the spring. So if you push it there, you might be in the same boat. And then you're going, well, why did we push it to the spring? Secondly, you mentioned the athletes. Well, for the ones that are going to be seniors that are draft-eligible players, let's just use a guy like Trevor Lawrence as an example. Trevor Lawrence knows he's going to be a top-10 pick in next year's draft. Is Trevor Lawrence, if you get hurt in September or October, you can heal yourself. Even December, shoot, we saw Julian Blackman for Utah blow his knee out in early December. The Colts still drafted him in the third round. But if you get hurt in March, well, you're not going to be ready to play. Is somebody going to even draft you?
How about that? How about Utah?
I don't even see how you could play a college football season in the spring.
Well, and how about this? If you've got a quarterback, contest at the University of Utah, and you're looking now, and you go, well, there's not really going to be one because what's the point of trying to figure that out for a half a season that's going to be going on or a three quarter season in the spring?
Yeah, Jake Bentley might end up getting through, and then. Guys, then there's just the basic wear and tear.
Right.
Are you going to play 25 or 26 games?
In 10 months.
In the span of 6 months?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care that these kids are 18 to 22 years old. That's too much. I mean, even at that level, you know, the bodies of those kids, they need time to recover. So I just think, I don't know that spring football is realistic. I really don't.
What about fans? I mean, is there any, did you get any, just like any indication of, no fans, or is it they're still trying to, or is that just kind of a market by market situation?
I think it's good, Scott. I think it's going to be market by market. Yeah. But when I asked Mark again, he said they have three or four good plans. But that's the very last thing they have to worry about. I mean, that's a decision you could make in mid-August. You can make that decision 2 weeks before the season. You know, they have to figure out first, you know, when and how they're playing, and then they'll get the fans at some point in time. They've got a no fan, you know, obviously, and then they've got two or three other. I think the one thing we know right now is full stadiums are probably a non-starter. I mean, we even saw the Ravens yesterday.
14,000 for the Ravens,
15,000 in a 65,000-seat stadium. So, and we've always heard all along that the college football is going to take at least some cues from the NFL. So I think that there's still a possibility for fans, market by market. And you probably have to wear a mask when you go in, but that decision, you know, they're going to wait till the very last second. These other decisions have to come first.
So now we look at it, if Utah ends up going to a conference only, if the Pac-12 goes to a conference only schedule, then you're adding Oregon to the schedule. Who else? Because I know they weren't playing Oregon this year, but who else do you add to the schedule?
Stanford was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you pick those games up if you can do that. I mean, it's going to be a bit of a mess. It's a big old jigsaw puzzle. And I'm sure, you know, the powers that be in the league have been working on these models.
They got the computers working it out as to how it could work.
There's also the possibility of doubling down, doing a home and home with particular schools if you can't fit everybody in at the same time. Maybe you do a home-and-home with Arizona State. Somebody you play later in the season, maybe you can add them a little bit earlier in the season and do a potential home-and-home. I don't know if that's a possibility, but, yeah, you got to look at all that stuff.
All right, Bill Riley, he's the voice of the Utah Utes football, basketball, of course, the voice of Real as well. So many things up in the air. We're going to keep calling you, Bill, and make sure that we can get some of this info as to how this is going to be handled if the Pac-12 comes out with any information. Thanks for being with us today, man.
Feel free to give me a call, guys. And I'm just, like I said, at this point in time, I'm just wearing my mask and keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, if we lose the rivalry game this year, it sucks. It really does.
Absolutely.
If we lose all 12 games. But at this point in time, I just want us to be able to call football games, whatever it is, 9, 10, 11, whatever it is, just to get our season in.
All right, Bill, we appreciate it. We're going to take the break here. We got more to go. Stay with us. Mitch Harper, insider for BYU Sports, of course, with us on KSLSports.com. He's going to join us next. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. You get to choose your own music if you come on KSL's Unrivaled.
I don't get to choose my own music. I'm here every night.
Hey, listen, I've put in a couple of these. I put in like a, I think you've got like a Black Sabbath in there somewhere. You've got like a Kashmir or something like that. I let you put some of your.
It's true.
I let you put some of your K-pop in. Some of your.
Like Def Leppard or something.
Yeah, we'll get some more of that. This is, what is this? Black Betty? That's what Mitch Harper asked for his walk-up music. So there you go. Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com, our BYU insider, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, walking up to the plate here. And big news, of course, today, Mitch, is the Big Ten has announced that they're going conference only. At the very least, that means Michigan State is not going to be coming to Provo. Something tells me other things bigger than this loom on the horizon for BYU's schedule this season.
Yeah, definitely, guys. This is kind of the worst case scenario for BYU as an independent, and now it's actually playing itself out with the Big Ten going to conference only, and potentially the Pac-12 tomorrow, or as early maybe as tomorrow. There's been reports already out there about the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 presidents are meeting tomorrow on a Zoom call to discuss their fall season. So I think we're going to see this continue to shake out in these conferences. And you know, I keep asking myself, how is BYU going to piece this together? Because there's so many unknowns at the moment.
I have a suggestion.
Oh, here comes Scott.
And this is the silver lining. And
thinking
this
outside the box here, Scott.
Notre Dame.
Just three or four games versus Notre Dame?
No, just a game versus Notre Dame.
Do you think Notre Dame has the guts to finally play that game? They do it during a pandemic. They do not. They could just pay BYU out.
Well, no, I mean, no. They don't have any games scheduled. I mean, Notre Dame's going to be as affected by this as BYU is.
If they do a comp, yeah,
Notre Dame's going to be fine. They got it paired up with the ACC, so there's been reports out there that the ACC will will go to conference only potentially as soon as next week.
And include Notre Dame on that.
The ACC. So yeah. Notre Dame's fine. BYU truly is like the only, you know, lone, true independent that tries to look and feel like a big-time Power 5 program in terms of the way they schedule.
Yeah.
And this is going to be really tough for BYU because, as we know, I mean, independent schedules, the thing that really BYU fans rally around is the games against Power 5 teams. And you cannot get BYU fans excited about the prospects of Liberty, New Mexico State. And then, oh, by the way, those all these independent teams are basically across the country.
Yeah.
They can't afford to just go back and forth to play games that really...
Well, it certainly defeats the purpose of what they're trying to do, and that is limit the travel that they have and try not to put themselves all the way across the country. And having a home and home with Liberty's in Virginia, I think. And so, you know, you think about it and you go, okay, go to and from Virginia for a home and home. I mean, I don't know how that works. What are the actual possibilities for BYU then this season for scheduling?
Well, I do think the independent-only schedule is a possibility, and you also pair that up with games against FCS teams like Weber State, Dixie State, Southern Utah. And those might even be up for unlikely, too, because the Big Sky, their commissioner came out today and said their season is a 50-50 proposition at best.
Jeez.
Right now. But the independent-only option is there. That was reported back in April that the independent programs did have conversations with one another from multiple outlets. So that's a possibility. I think also, too, guys, there is maybe a scenario where you look at the Big 12 Conference and the SEC. There's been no word from them in terms of hitching their league to a conference-only schedule. If those leagues decide to play a 12-game schedule, well, those two leagues, they were impacted by Big Ten and Pac-12 scheduling news, with them potentially going to conference-only schedules. They would need games if they continue with the 12-game route. So that's maybe the best-case scenario for BYU, where the SEC and Big 12 need to fill their dates, and BYU can step right in and make that happen. So those would be some options. And then maybe, you know, the Mountain West Conference looks at BYU and says, hey, come in for a year. You can be the 12th member or, you know, 13th member of the league. Everyone can go round-robin, play 12 games, and BYU can be part of the Mountain West Conference again. But it's slim pickings. It's a tough situation right now for BYU.
That would be, honestly, like, what's weird is that would be beyond the best case scenario if they were to actually get that invite, if everything else cancels out for a season, to be able to play in the Mountain West.
Has BYU, because you hear, like, there's a lot of different scenarios that have been developed in, like, the Pac-12. Like, if we go conference only, or if we go, and they've been planning. Have you heard anything in your discussions with people at BYU? Have they been planning for this, saying, well, what if this did happen, and what would we do? And did you get any indication, or are they just kind of reacting as the news happens?
Yeah, no, they've had contingency plans. I mean, BYU's around, like, 15 possible contingency plans from the conversations that I've had about a potential college football season. So this is not anything that was they were not considering. This dates back to all the way in April and May when BYU was exploring the possibility. Now, do I think they wanted this to happen? Clearly not. They wanted to have Michigan State and Minnesota on the schedule, two of the best teams ever going to be on the 2020 slate. But I think it's something that they definitely have interacted conversations with. Now, I wonder, too, guys, how much, you know, ESPN could potentially play a role in this for BYU, because ESPN and BYU signed a new TV agreement. It's the first year of that. I got to imagine ESPN wants some return on that investment, even though it's not as much as Power 5 leagues. Still a financial commitment. I would imagine that somehow, some way, maybe ESPN can broker something for BYU to get them some games. But if all these leagues go to conference only, the Power 5 especially, got to think the Group of Five would follow suit as well. BYU could be in a very difficult spot where, then you're probably hoping as a BYU fan that the entire college football season just gets canceled and everyone tries to restart it up in spring.
Couldn't BYU and Utah still play, though? I mean, they're like
they're right here,
45 miles away from each other, and Maybe they could just call it like a scrimmage.
The problem
you
is,
don't even
oh,
call it a
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
You just call it a scrimmage. So it's not even a game. It's but you have officials and you keep the score and
you keep
and,
it closed and there's no media there.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
just watch
why,
it on
why
TV.
Could you not have that game?
Because the Pac-12
no matter what.
Because the Pac-12 will regulate that and say that that they can't have it.
Then have a scrimmage.
Okay, call it a scrimmage. Yesterday I watched your video when you were talking about, you know, it was before our show when you were saying that this is – I think about all these players that their careers could be affected by how this thing goes, and there are going to be a lot of players like Matt Bushman for BYU who are going to look at this, and if spring – if it ends up getting pushed to the spring, why would you want to risk playing right before the NFL draft?
Yeah, I think spring is the worst-case scenario, honestly. I think that's the last-ditch effort. But, I mean, you're hearing out from Ohio State's athletic director today that he's now going on the record and saying a season is looking more and more unlikely potentially. And that's notable when you're getting an AD from Ohio State, one of the biggest and best programs the sport has to offer.
But also a program that could weather financially the storm.
Exactly. And so this might all be the conference-only schedule lip service to try and give, you know, more flexibility in the fall to, you know, limit the schedule down to 9 games so conferences can adjust accordingly. If they do have a team that gets a COVID-19 outbreak on their roster and gives them some wiggle room to make it happen. But this could all just be pushing, you know, kicking the can down to see, you know, when in fact they can actually start this thing up. And I also think too, guys, that a lot of these leagues probably are fearful of the PR nightmare that comes with this. I think that that's something that has to be brought up. I mean, because you look at this age group, they're not – it's an age group that, you know, the impact in terms of deaths. There's only been 175 deaths to this date by the CDC from the age 0 to 24, yet cases are still high, and it's probably hard to keep college-age kids to just completely quarantined all day, every day, except for when they go to the training facility. So – and I don't know if these leagues want to face the PR nightmare of having a whole roster of unpaid athletes getting cases of COVID-19. So I think that plays a role in some of these decisions to go to the conference-only route.
Mitch Harper, he's the host of Cougar Sports Saturday. You can also get his byline at KSLSports.com. And, Mitch, I registered for BYU Virtual Media Day today, and I'm sure you did as well. And that thing's going to be happening July 20th. That's going to be a weird media day, especially considering that 11 days from now, things will look very, very different.
Absolutely. I think that, honestly, that crossed my mind, Alex, because I think, what are they going to talk about? I mean, just is it simply just the schedule? Like, what's it, they're going to roll out, you know, 5 games against Liberty? I mean, I guess, like, maybe Liberty and BYU are going to join forces and form a bubble. Who knows? I mean, anything has got to be on the table here if they want to get the football season off the ground, but you know, I think for BYU, they got to hope that the Big 12 and SEC try to ride this thing out and stick true to playing a full 12-game schedule, because if that doesn't happen, then it could get really, really dicey for BYU football in 2020.
I think we're headed that direction, already having a dicey season. So, Mitch Harper, we're going to stay on top of this thing. You can always get the updates at KSLSports.com. Mitch, if he hears anything from BYU, you usually hear it first from Mitch Harper. Follow him on Twitter. Go follow him on KSLSports.com. Mitch, thanks for being with us. We're going to take the break here. We got more to go right here. 2-minute drill coming up. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. A wild day in the world of sports is yesterday was the Ivy League that said they're going to cancel all their, or at least push all their sports to a different time of year for this year. And the Big Ten today saying that they are going to move their schedules to a conference-only model for this fall, which affects BYU immediately because they had a game scheduled against Michigan State for the second week of the season. So here's the deal. But it just feels I'm honestly like a little bit depressed about this. Like, this is before we knew the news like about the Big Ten.
Well, we felt like June 1st, like they were going to let students back on.
They were already doing it,
and then they created this whole like plan to work to, you know, let the students kind of go through this 6-week program, and it looked like it was going to be an on time start, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the, you know, kind of an uptick in positive cases happened in some significant parts of the country, and it was dramatic. It was a dramatic increase, and it's just, we just don't know anything, and I don't think we've ever known anything, and I still don't think we know anything, and it just, I don't think we know when this is going to end, when it's going to kind of hit its you know, high water mark, and what happens in the meantime, and by congregating massive groups of people together, what does that do? And I think people don't know. I just don't. And
I think we're all wondering what it's going to look like. I mean, the reality is that could the entire football season be put on pause and be sent to the spring? Then you start to talk about what it looks like with all these players.
How do you have spring and then fall football? You tell guys to
play 18 games in 10 months.
I mean, for me, it was like you needed the offseason to recover.
I know. And I know we're trying to adjust. And how would everything be magically okay next year, next spring?
Yeah.
You know, and like the idea of getting everybody back together and, hey, we're all good now. Right? I mean, everything's good now. False alarm. I don't know what we're saying. I mean, like,
you wonder when you get to a point when it's all over, Alex, and you go,
what did we do right and what did we do wrong?
Are you sure? I mean, I think you'd always be looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Going, is it going to, you know, and I think this panic, you know, this.
May the 2-minute drill save us from ourselves feeling just down in the dumps about it all. Scott, what's the 2-minute drill? Everybody's tuning in.
The 2-minute drill is when you hurry at the end of the game because you got to go down and score quickly. You don't have a lot of time, so you talk fast. In our show, we have a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time to talk about it. So we talk a little bit about a lot
there
of things,
go.
And we finish the show and win the day.
Your guy, J.J. Watt, I've made him your guy, okay?
He's my guy. He can be my guy.
J.J. Watt has said
been
that
injured
if they,
a lot, though.
And I didn't know what the – I don't know. I've seen different iterations of what this looks like, but one of the discussions that the NFL's had, and everything has to go through the Players Association and everything, but J.J. Watt says he likely will not play this season if the NFL puts certain rules into place, including the full face mask, the face shield that would be inside of the so it'd be a visor that basically went down the full length of the of the face mask.
Well, J.J. Watt hasn't played a full season anyways for quite a while, so I don't know how this would be any different for him anyway. But I do know that as a player, you're used to things a certain way. And there are just certain things like, it's like,
your helmet looks a certain way. You have a certain face mask on.
Feels a certain way.
Buckles are away. Yes.
And so I get this whole idea about a face shield. I can tell you for me, I'd be nervous about something getting on it like water. You know how you have... You know, like you get in a rainstorm and your windshield wipers don't work. That would concern me because I sweat a lot.
It'd be dripping
and
mid-play.
It could fly and it could do all these things.
There's a lot of players that do. There are a lot of players that play with the visor on,
right?
But I think that
for a good cause. I mean,
sure.
If you've ever been poked in the eye with a finger, it is the most painful thing in the world, and that's what it's all for. It's just to protect your face. And guys will either accidentally or intentionally try to poke you.
Right. But I'm saying it would be markedly different if it's in front of your mouth. I think that this thing would be, it would fog up a ton.
Claustrophobic. I would be claustrophobic.
How about yelling out calls on the line and it echoes back into your face? It's not as loud. All these things.
It would be sick.
And then you have to wipe the inside. I can't imagine what that would look like, but I mean, if that's the discussion that you have in the NFL, you've got bigger problems. I guarantee that that's the least of their concerns.
Well, you know, when you have a diving mask, you just spit on it, and then
you rub it off.
Yeah, so it doesn't fog up anymore. of course, you can't spit, because then you're going to spread the virus. So,
it's a
Someone needs to come up with an antibacterial spit.
Speaking of...
a defogging spit. That's what they need.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, somebody's already, like, in some lab trying to figure it out. Yeah. I think that players could put on their hand to wipe on the inside of the thing, be an anti-fogging agent or something. All right. Speaking of the NFL, one thing that they're not going to be able to do next year is swap jerseys. So, because, you know, You've been playing and tackling each other all game. Heaven forbid you hand a jersey over to another person. But I think this is, Scott, this feels like to me, the NFL banning jersey swaps at the end of the game feels like such a weird stretch that they're like grasping at for like ways to look like they're being safe. The reality is the nature of the sport itself is way worse than the idea of swapping jerseys. And the NFL players are calling the league hypocrites because of it anyway, because they're like, okay, this is the thing that's going to keep us safe.
You can go play the game, and you can run over each other right. And have all this contact.
Don't exchange the
jersey.
But
at the end of the day, don't. I mean,
with
take
your
the
buddy.
Jersey with a pair of, like, you know, surgical gloves and and put it in a plastic bag and go have it washed or something before you ever touch it. I mean, there's a way to keep it sanitary. I'm just sad that I missed this era of jersey swapping. I mean, there's so many guys I wished I had swapped jerseys with or got their jersey when I played. Hundreds of guys that I would have loved to have had a jersey of. Loved it. And I'm but we were in a day when no one kind of shook hands. It's like, meh.
Yeah, I hate that I just lost to you and I don't like you.
Yeah.
And I might like you if we end up playing together at some point, but even then, probably not.
Yeah. Or I'll pretend I like you.
It's interesting. I just think that if the NFL is acting like that rule is going to keep somebody safe, they are absolutely fooling themselves. It's a fake thing. It's a visual that is. I mean, I guess what they're saying is they don't want to see it on TV of the players walking over, hugging each other, handing a jersey to one another with their helmets off, and blah blah blah. I'm trying to figure out like what's the sideline look like then. What does the sideline look like?
They'll have little dots, and they'll be 6 feet apart, and you know everyone will stand on
them. Are the misting machines going to have antibacterial spray in them? Is that what's going to be going on?
Yeah, the NFL does. There's not many guys on a sideline on an NFL team. There's lots of room there. College is a different story, but in the NFL, I wouldn't be surprised if colleges at home games actually keep a minimum of people on the sideline. If the NFL is going to say, wear a shield, don't swap jerseys, and they haven't talked anything about like changing the schedule, delaying the schedule, I'm okay with it. I'm okay. You have your shield. You don't swap your jersey. You just keep playing games. I don't care.
If they can play the games,
then play the games,
make those dumb rules
make
up.
Make all the dumb rules you want.
All right. 575-00 is the text number. Hey, that's the end of the show. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Curie. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow again on another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. See you then, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.